I'm Nick Spitzer. We'll speak in a few minutes with the great British guitarist and man of songs Richard Thompson, who now lives in Los Angeles. But first, some favorite players he heard in England, including skiffle and the blues, and mainly rock and roll. In addition to a local player, Joe Brown, there was Gene Vincent, Buddy Holly, and The Killer, Jerry Lee Lewis. Here in Memphis, 1959, Lovin' Up a Storm on American Roots.
When a kiss should fly like oak leaves, caught in a gust of wind, my heart beats fast as a clickety-clack, like a train going round the bend. I call that loving up a storm. I said that's loving up a storm. Well, it's good for you, honey. It won't do you no harm. When I begin with it, darling, all I can hear is a sigh. Something touches you deep in your heart like it's lightning from the sky. I call that loving up a storm. Oh, loving up a storm. That is good for you, baby. It won't do you no harm. Embracing, darling, I get wild as a hurricane. And when we kiss, it's on the fire. Ice water's running through my veins. I call that loving up a storm. Oh, loving up a storm. And it's good for you, baby. It won't do you no harm. That is good for you, baby. It won't do you no harm. It's good for you, baby. Do you know how?
I'm sitting on top of the world. summer day, she went away. She gone and left me. She gonna stay. But now she gone, and I don't worry, because I'm sitting on top of the world.
Here's a story about the Rock Island Line. Now, Rock Island Line, she runs down into New Orleans. And just outside of New Orleans, there's a big toll gate. And all the trains, they go through the toll gate while they gotta pay the man some money. But of course, if you've got certain things on board, you're okay, you don't have to pay the man nothing. And just now, we see a train, she coming down the line. And when she come up near the toll gate, the driver, he shout down to the man. He say, I got pigs, I got horses, I got cows, I got sheep, I got all livestock, I got all livestock, I got all livestock. And the man say, well, you're all right, boy, just get on through, you don't have to pay me nothing. And the train go through. And when you go through the toll gate, the train get up a little bit of steam and a little bit of speed. And when the driver think he's safely on the other side, he shout back down the line to the man. He said, I fooled you, I fooled you, I got pig iron, I got pig iron, I got all. Now tell you where I'm going, boy. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is the road to ride. Yes, the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. And if you own the ride, you got to ride it like you find to get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. I may be right, may be wrong, you know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is the road to ride. Yes, the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. And if you own the ride, you got to ride it like you find to get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Hallelujah, I'm safe from sin. The good Lord's coming for to see me again. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is the road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. And if you won't, you ride it, gotta ride it like you find to get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. A, B, C, W, X, Y, Z. Cat's on the cover, but he don't see me. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is the road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. And if you won't, you ride it, gotta ride it like you find to get your ticket. Station on the Rock Island Line. Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. Rock Island Line, you're road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. And if you won't, everybody got to ride it like you find to get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line.
Lonnie Donegan with Lead Belly's Rock Island Line in 1955. Lonnie Donegan, the best known performer of skiffle, an entertaining combination of British music hall, ragtime, jazz, and the blues. Part of Richard Thompson's youthful soundscape in England. And before that, Sitting on Top of the World from the Howlin' Wolf London Sessions, 1972. The Wolf joined by Brit Rockers Eric Clapton, Bill Wyman, and Charlie Watts. British guitar master and balladeer Richard Thompson has cruised just below the radar of mainstream popularity for most of his career. He's well-loved as a founding member of the band Fairport Convention and a leader of the 1960s English folk revival. He's recorded dozens of his own songs and been featured guitarist on many others. Richard Thompson grew up in bleak post-World War II London, finding escape from the dreary times in the sounds of American jazz, blues, and country music found in his father's record collection. He said it was the glamour of early rock and roll that drew him to the guitar and to get out front of an audience.
Performing music is fun. And the reason why, when you're kids, you play music is because it's so exciting and wonderful to play music. So it's not a cerebral process. You just can kind of drift into it. In terms of the style of music that you play, there was a point in sort of 1968 in Fairport Convention when we said, you know, the music we're playing is very secondhand. You know, we're playing Bob Dylan songs, we're playing Joni Mitchell songs. But we thought if we played something that was more indigenous, this would be more satisfying for us.
I see.
And ultimately, it would be more meaningful for the audience to have their own culture revived. When you play the old songs, you feel history. You feel 200, 300 years, 400 years.
I forbid you maidens all that wear gold in your hair to travel to Carter Hall, for young Tamlin is there. None that go by Carter Hall, but they leave him a pledge, either their mantles of green or else their maiden head.
Fairport was always an amalgam of rock music and traditional music, because rock music was the lingua franca of the time. If you wanted people to listen to you, then you know, you amplified it and you added a backbeat. And also rock music was what excited us. So we wanted to kind of twist rock music in a way that was more appropriate to where we came from. And we were all into sort of art theory, and I was seriously into John Cage and people like that, you know. And I thought, this is as radical as that. This is as radical as John Cage.
What was your concept of America through blues and old-time country and rock and roll? I mean, how do you feel it or see it at that point?
It just seemed exciting. You know, it was an exciting world. And I think what people around the world love about America is the arts and culture of the poor people, black and white. You know, there's some people around the world love country music. They love the Hank Williamses and their Lefty Frizzells, you know, and they love the blues, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, also, you know, stylistically, it's a very short leap from British music to American music, you know, from villagers in England going over to America to taking the music and the culture with them, and that becoming Appalachian music. It's a very short leap.
Oh, King Henry, he lay upon his bed, lay musing on a tribute due. Tribute due to the King of France. It hadn't been paid for so long a day. Fa-la, tra-la, da-la, fa-la, long a day.
Sometimes traditional songs have been found in, you know, the Smoky Mountains.
In the periphery, well away from time and space.
Totally, completely cut off, you know, yeah. Communities. You find these songs. There's one song, you know, King Henry Fights the French, which is about Henry V, you know, which is like 14-something.
Doesn't seem like it'd have much currency in the Blue Ridge Appalachia.
You wouldn't think so, but they're still singing this song like 600 years later. And meanwhile, in Europe, it's died out completely.
Were you ever motivated to search out peripheral sources of British folk tradition that might not be in oral tradition in England? Do you ever pursue that kind of folk
work? Well, I've done
approach?
It. I've never been, you know, the guy with the tape machine, you know, you know, who goes around and sort of takes notes. But I mean, I've sat with real traditional singers, not revivalists, and listened to them sing, and just a part of a sort of social process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinarily rich when you can go back to the source.
Richard Thompson, you have played with so many different people over the years. Beausoleil and Los Lobos and J.J. Cale. And how do you stylistically reshape, or maybe you don't, when you engage with some of these artists with very defined sense?
Well, I can cheat, you know. to some extent, you know, you build your own style. So you have a kind of uniqueness so that whatever you play, whatever you bring into that style, it still sounds like you.
Yeah.
But also, I spent, you know, many years as a session musician where, you know, you try to blend in with whatever is required, you know. So I can kind of do Cajun.
Right.
If I'm sitting with Beausoleil, I can kind of cop licks off the accordion and stuff.
So what do you feel you add to Cajun, though? I mean, there's not a long history of lead guitars in French in Louisiana.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, what do I add? I don't know. You have to ask somebody else. Perhaps I subtract. It's quite possible.
L'âme est dans un château, l'âme est dans un château, barré à celui de Pierrot. Barré à celui de Pierrot. resté 7 ans, elle y a resté 7 ans. Son oie ni ciel ne t'héro, son oie ni ciel ne t'héro.
You moved to the United States in 1985. Yeah. Why and where?
Well, I live in Los Angeles because I married an Angelino. And because I work more in America, it seemed a better place to be based. You know, if I'm going to be away from home, then it's better if it's a short hop than a transatlantic all the time. So.
Well, some people have said that, Los Angeles is sort of everywhere and nowhere.
It is exactly that. Which is a good thing. If I lived in New Orleans, I would feel that I'd have to take part in the local culture, that I would be very influenced musically by New Orleans music, which might be a wonderful thing. But living in Los Angeles, I mean, unless you're going to suddenly start doing sort of Jan and Dean numbers, there's no real impact from the local culture. You can be whoever you want.
Let's talk a little bit about some of your songs. You've got this amazing song about the motorcycle.
Oh, says Red Molly to James, that's a fine motorbike. A girl could feel special on any such like. Says James to Red Molly, my hat's off to you. It's a Vincent Black Lightning 1952. And I've seen you at the corners and cafes, it seems. Red hair and black leather, my favorite color scheme. And he pulled around behind and down to Box Hill they did ride.
It relates very much to what we've been talking about, different traditions and about a desire to be coming from Britain and wanting to say something in British, So I was thinking, well, romance mythology come mostly from American music. Carolina Moon, Keep Shining, almost any American place name is romantic, especially if it's from the South or West. You can't do that with a lot of English place names or objects.
Too many syllables?
No, they just don't sound romantic. But
so 1952, Vincent Black Lightning.
Yeah, it's a kind of a romantic object around which you can build a song. So this is an object that's sexy, and it's kind of a rare one. They only made 26 lightnings. And I thought this is like the lodestone around which the story revolves.
Oh, you reach for a hand and you slipped her the keys. Said, I've got no further use for these. I see angels and aerials in leather and chrome, swooping down from a hill to carry me home. And he gave her one last kiss and died. And he gave her his Vincent to ride.
To what extent do you think the darkness of some of the narratives, I mean, is that you reaching for the historic, traditional vantage point of the narrator in British folk song, or is it just who you are personally? Is it?
I'm not consciously reaching, but you know what? If you grow up with a folk tradition, you get used to a kind of a more serious or a darker view of what music should be.
Well, there is humor, too, in tragedy. I mean, sometimes you have to step back from it and have that mordant vision.
Totally, yeah. And also, the songs are often looking at life, and saying, look at these things that happen. But isn't it funny, And there's also songs that are kind of skewering life in an ironical way.
That's the place I used to work when I was a wild young Turk. It's now the Museum of Getting free. Brickworks smell of rotten eggs. Rubberworks poured out the dregs. Now it smells of Dettol and pee. Lottery Land's the place to be. Where the steel mill used to stand, there's a park in Lottery Land.
As a guitarist, do you think of yourself as having a guitar style that is distinctive, cultural, or highly personal? How would you describe your kind of playing?
Well, I hope it is distinctive. Back in, when I was 16, I thought, well, I don't want to sound like other people. So I really try to not imitate. And I try to listen to other instruments that aren't just the guitar. So I'm very influenced by fiddle players and pipers in traditional music. There's a song on the new album called Stony Ground where the guitar, is fusing ideas derived from pipe music or ornamentations from pipe music, but putting those into a sort of contemporary setting. If you didn't have the backing surrounding the song, you could sing it as a straight traditional song, pretty much.
Morris got a battle last week. Fell by the widow from across in the street. She clipped him in the ear and she told him what's what, but he couldn't keep his mind off her honey pot or sell a young man with his teeth all gone. Poking his nose where it don't belong. She's a rose, all right, but she's got thorns. You're walking on stony. Richard
Thompson, thank you for making all this delightful and engaging music.
Thank you.
Stony Ground from Richard Thompson's CD Electric, which was produced by our friend Buddy Miller in Nashville. Richard Thompson's song sung by others and a surprising kindred spirit when American Roots returns.